CBS Sports Radio.
I am Gary Parrish, television analyst, columnist, CBS Sports, filling in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to be here today and tomorrow. You can reach me on Twitter at Gary Parrish CBS. That's Parrish with two R's, at Gary Parrish CBS. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. Tiger Woods, as you heard in the update, he is now 1 over through 14. So still like in contention. Like, really, if you are someone who roots for Tiger Woods, like I do root for Tiger Woods because I'm a fan of comeback stories, and I think it would be amazing to watch him add at least one more major to his resume. You really just don't want him to lose the golf tournament on Thursday, right? I mean, I guess you'd love to see him be up by 11 strokes on Thursday. That would probably be the best case scenario. But as long as he doesn't blow it up on Thursday, that seems to be good enough. And through two holes today, it looked like he might bogey on one, double bogey on two, 3 over after two. But he's played well since then. He's 1 over through 14, 5 strokes back of your leader, Ricky Fowler, who's 4 under through 16. I will keep you up to date on the PGA Championship throughout the next 2 hours. Keep you up to date on Tiger Woods. Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN, NBA Insider, going to join me a little later on this hour, right around 1:40 Eastern, talk NBA with him. But right now, the Ohio State investigation continues to unfold in Columbus, Ohio. It should be wrapped up, according to Ohio State's own timeline, one way or another, by about this time next week. And yesterday, and there really has been a new development related to this basically every day. It's a statement from a lawyer. It's a tweet from Urban Meyer. It's a television interview from Zach Smith. And then yesterday, the development was Deadspin published the protection order that Courtney Smith filed against Zach Smith, the former receivers coach at Ohio State, who I think most people understand by now, had to be fired last month at Ohio State, but only after details of 2015 allegations that were made against him were made public by longtime football reporter Brett McMurphy. It ended up getting Urban Meyer at least initially caught in a lie. He came back and essentially admitted that he did lie at Big Ten Media Day, but it has been a mess in a variety of ways, a mess that's put, I think, the man who you can reasonably call the second best college football coach in the world, behind only Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, it's put his career in real jeopardy. I won't pretend to know how this thing is going to end up, because they're investigating for a reason, to try to figure out what happened and why it happened. The reason Ohio State had to launch an independent investigation is because they didn't have the answers at the time. So if they didn't have the answers, then I won't pretend, even though I've heard other people try to, I won't pretend to know the answers. But I do know that it looks ugly, really ugly. And that protection order that was made public yesterday is just about as ugly as it gets. It paints Zach Smith, and again, in fairness to everybody, it's merely allegations, but there's a whole lot of them. And it paints Zach Smith as not only a violent man toward his wife who became his ex-wife, a physical abuser, but also just a terror in a million different forms. There are stories where, out of jealousy, I assume, Courtney Smith caught him having placed a camera hidden in their living room, his old living room, the place they used to live as a family, to monitor who was and was not at the house. She says that she caught him one night, 1:30 in the morning, in the backyard trying to peek through the windows to see who's at the house. Anybody who he thought she was subsequently dating, he would threaten in person, via text message, on the phone. He used the kids' iPads to try to track where they were at all times when they were with her. And when he knew they were with her and moving, because he could tell on his iPhone app that they were in a car, he would FaceTime the kids, not to be a great dad and say, "Hey, what are you up to, bud?" but to try to figure out if there's anybody else in the car. Just a maniac in so many different ways. And it just becomes harder and harder, and I suppose it was always difficult, but like even more difficult than ever, to believe what Zach Smith said on television last week is anywhere close to true, which is that, yes, he had a toxic relationship with Courtney Smith, but he never hit her. And that he never did these things that she says repeatedly that he's done. First back in 2009, then again in 2015. There's just too many allegations, too many details. I found this to be true over the years. When people are making false allegations, they usually don't have details. It's just vague stuff. Oh, so-and-so is a liar. Oh, so-and-so abused me. Tell me a story. Give me a story. The people with stories, those are the ones that tend to be telling the truth. She has stories, Courtney Smith. Lots of them. Details. Lots of them. I suppose it's possible for somebody to be falsely accused of this kind of stuff once, but 50 times? I found this to be true over the years as well. You get accused of something that you deny and there's no evidence of it once, I might be willing to give you the benefit of the doubt if I feel like it doesn't jibe with your character. But you start getting accused again and again and again and again, I'm going to assume that's who you are. And so I'm at this point, and I think most people are on this side of it right now, I'm going to assume that Zach Smith is a bad, bad guy who stayed employed at Ohio State way too long, who should have maybe never been employed at Ohio State to begin with. And so as Ohio State works through this, it's already clear somebody's going to lose their job. That is the one thing I'm comfortable saying. Somebody at Ohio State is losing a job, at least one person, perhaps more. But somebody is definitely losing a job, and here's why. Either Urban Meyer did not report this properly in 2015, as he's contractually obligated to do, and then he lied about doing so last Friday when he released a statement. Either that's one reality, possible reality, and if that's the case, he's fired. I don't care how many championships he got, how many wins he's got. Ohio State cannot employ that man, and they'll have cause to fire him, which means they won't have to eat the $40 million left on his contract. If Urban Meyer didn't report this properly, he's going to be fired. Because of that, period. But on top of it, then what that would mean is that when he tweeted last Friday, I did report this properly, it was a lie. So that's the scenario where Urban Meyer loses his job. He did not report this properly and then lied and said that he did so. The other scenario is that Urban Meyer did report this properly. And I suppose he could still lose his job in that scenario, but it would be less likely. The person who would definitely lose their job in that scenario would be whoever's job it is to then take this wherever it needs to go. Because if you take Urban Meyer at his word, and I'm not sure you should at this point, but for the sake of the conversation, let's pretend you do. If you take Urban Meyer at his word, not as his first word from Big Ten Media Day, but his second word last Friday on Twitter. If you take him at his word, what he's telling you is, I am obligated to report this. And I did. And what is implied there is, and then my administration did with it whatever it is they do with it. And they certainly didn't tell me I can't employ him anymore, or else I obviously wouldn't have. So maybe I didn't do the right thing if what you're saying now with the benefit of the hindsight is I should have fired the guy in 2015. If you want to argue I didn't make a proper personnel decision, then perhaps I didn't make a proper personnel decision. Just like sometimes a head coach keeps a defensive coordinator that he couldn't, that he shouldn't, or an offensive coordinator that he shouldn't. I kept a wide receivers coach that I shouldn't have. If you want to say I made a bad decision in 2015, say that. Clearly, benefit of hindsight, I can admit that I probably did as well. But don't say that I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I did what I was supposed to do. If he did that, if that's true, then whoever's job it is from there to take this where it's supposed to go, that's the person who loses their job. And the reason is because of this. Courtney Smith's lawyer released a statement earlier this week and said definitively, nobody from Ohio State ever talked to Courtney Smith. Nobody. So if it's true that Urban Meyer reported this to his administration, and his administration is then obligated in one way or another to investigate these allegations of domestic violence. They clearly didn't do so properly because, though I will not pretend to have ever been an investigator of crimes, I do other things. Seems like common sense would be if a woman is accusing a man of beating her, if not the first person you need to talk to, somebody on the short list of people you need to talk to should be the woman making that allegation. If nobody at Ohio State ever talked to her, and we have no reason to believe that they did, then somebody failed incredibly. Because what it did, by extension, is allow Zach Smith to continue to be on the Ohio State staff for another 3 years. So that's how you know somebody's getting fired at Ohio State. This program, or at least this university, I should say, is not going to come out of this with no blemishes. I'm not sure how far up the food chain it goes. Like, does it cost Gene Smith, the athletic director at Ohio State, his job? I don't know. But if Urban Meyer didn't report this, Urban Meyer's gone. If Urban Meyer did report it, he might survive. I think probably will survive. But whoever's job it is to take it from there. Hey, I'm giving this to you. Now you take it from here. It's my job to report it to you. Now it's your job to take it from here. Whoever's job it is to take it from there didn't do their job because they didn't talk to Courtney Smith. They didn't call her. They didn't text her. They didn't email. They didn't go to her house. They didn't ask her to come in. They didn't meet her for coffee. They didn't take her to lunch. If Urban Meyer told the truth last Friday night, what that means is he reported this to an administration that then failed to investigate very serious allegations of physical violence against a woman. That's unacceptable. So either Urban Meyer's lying and he's going to lose his job because of it, or Urban Meyer's telling the truth and somebody else in that administration, perhaps multiple people, they're going to lose their jobs because of it. And we should know one way or another, again, around this time next week. What do you think is going to happen at Ohio State? What do you want to happen at Ohio State? The phone number here is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. I'm Gary Parrish, filling in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm taking your calls on Ohio State next.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
I'm Gary Parrish, television analyst, columnist, CBS Sports, filling in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I'm going to be here today and tomorrow. You can reach me on Twitter, at Gary Parrish CBS. I appreciate you guys hanging out. Tiger Woods is now one over with two holes left to play, so he's one over through 16, still in contention, hasn't blown up today, even after getting off to a terrible start, round one PGA Championship. He was three over through two, now one over through 16. Ricky Fowler still alone atop the leaderboard in St. Louis. He is five under par. I will keep you up to date over the next hour or so about the PGA, keep you up to date on the PGA Championship, including on Tiger Woods. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski going to join me in the next segment around 1:40 Eastern. Going to talk NBA with him. But right now, the Ohio State investigation continues to unfold. We spent some time on it in the last segment, and now I want to talk to you about it. What do you think's going to happen at Ohio State? What do you want to happen at Ohio State? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. I got a tweet from Mike, and he asked the following question. Why did Urban Meyer wait 10 days, not one or 2 days, 10 days to say that he followed protocol? And I guess I would answer that by saying that is a wonderful question for Urban Meyer. It's nonsensical the way that he's handled this. It is incredible to me. Like, I am not a public relations consultant. I'm just somebody who possesses a decent amount of common sense. And I swear to you, I could keep coaches and players out of so much trouble if I was just allowed somehow to say, hey, you're going to be asked about this today. Here's the way you should answer this today. Like when it's a coach whose name is tied to another college job, they always get flummoxed and don't know what to say. Here's what you should say. Handle it like this, you'll be fine. And for Urban Meyer to walk into Big Ten Media Day the way that he did, like, he's a smart guy. Like, Urban Meyer's not some dumb football coach. By all accounts, a smart human being. To be that ill-prepared for that moment and then lie is insane to me. If nothing else, it makes him look like a liar. If nothing else, it makes everybody start to lose the ability to give him the benefit of the doubt. Because now Urban Meyer releases a statement last Friday night, like Mike points out on Twitter, well after the initial denial of even knowing anything about the 2015 incident. And though I guess you can assume he's telling the truth this time, you don't know. Like, are you lying this time too? We know you lied the first time. You lying this time too? So Mike asked the question, why did it take Urban Meyer 10 days to change his story and insist that he follow protocol? I have no idea other than this. Sometimes powerful people and college football coaches at Power 5 universities, especially a university like Ohio State University, are powerful people. Sometimes powerful people who rarely, if ever, have to answer to anybody think irrationally, at least in this case irrationally, that they can get away with saying whatever they want to do. Like, in Urban Meyer's mind, he wasn't lying at Big Ten Media Day any more than Nick Saban was lying at SEC Media Day when he pretends he doesn't have any idea who his starting quarterback is going to be. I promise you, Nick Saban has known for a while who his starting quarterback is going to be. Still won't admit it when he says he doesn't know. I personally believe that to be a lie. But, like, coaches lie all the time to the media. I'm sure Urban Meyer just thought he was lying to the media the way coaches lie to the media all the time, and that there would be no repercussions. And there might not have been, if not for Breckman Murphy, Courtney Smith, combining to provide what any reasonable mind would interpret as ample evidence to suggest that Urban Meyer, yes, he did know about the incidents and the allegations in 2015. Remember, that was the initial denial. The question is, why didn't you fire this guy back in 2015? Urban Meyer's like, I didn't know anything about anything in 2015. Then Brett McMurphy gets on the phone with Courtney Smith, sits down with Courtney Smith. She's providing photos, text messages, all sorts of evidence that make it incredibly hard to believe that Urban Meyer did not know, at the very least, what Zach Smith was accused of doing. It's possible he didn't know if Zach Smith was really doing it. I think that's another conversation that we can have another day. But there's no question he knew about the allegations. That seemed clear. As close as Urban and his wife Shelly Meyer are, the idea that Courtney Smith could tell Shelly Meyer in such great detail what her husband was allegedly doing to her and Shelly Meyer not take that back to Urban Meyer was like, no reasonable person would believe that. But I'm sure a powerful guy like Urban Meyer, who's never really had to answer to anybody for anything, still thought, well, maybe there's a little wiggle room there. And perhaps that's why it took him 10 days to get his story straight. Maybe that's how long it took him to A, take this thing seriously, and B, recognize, oh man, this might really cost me my job. I've been the most powerful person on every college campus I've ever worked in the past however many years, and now I might lose my job. I better get my story straight. I think it might have, and this is the explanation, it might have taken him 10 days to realize this is a serious deal that I'm not just going to be able to be dismissive of and it'll go away. This is something, an investigation is now launched. My job is on the line. I better get my story straight and now keep my fingers crossed. The phone number here is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Chad in Green Bay. Chad, it's Gary Parrish filling in for Jim Rome. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Everything's all right in my world. I appreciate you calling.
Good, yeah. Thanks for sharing my call. But with the whole Urban Meyer situation, I just think it's like how society needs to change. Women who are in these abusive relationships a lot of times are too scared to speak out because they don't think anything's going to happen or they're not going to take them seriously. And his wife knew about this, and you can't just turn the other way. You need to call somebody. I mean, that's, we need to change the, how this is. You can't just act like it's not happening to your neighbors. Somebody needs to do something. That's how I feel about it. I think he should be fired.
I appreciate you calling, Chad. There's a lot of people who agree with him. I can actually, and I don't have time to do it right now. We might get to it later in the show. But I can actually come up with a scenario where Urban Meyer looks like not great, but can probably keep his job. But there's a whole lot of people who just go, listen, you knew this guy was allegedly beating this woman. And you knew that it happened in 2 different years that these allegations were brought against him. You fire him on the spot. At some point, you don't continue to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Even if there's not like crystal clear proof of it. We had a video with Ray Rice. That's hard to deny. But with this, there's a lot of pictures and text messages, but there's not that one. There's not a video like Ray Rice and his wife and that elevator. So I can understand how maybe one allegation you say, hey, like, I don't know what's what. Seems like he said, she said. But, like, 2 allegations, like, come on. And there's plenty of people who agree with Chad. Like, the fact that Urban Meyer did nothing about it, or at least allowed Zach Smith to keep his job, that is grounds for a firing of Urban Meyer. Because we live in a society now that should not ever tolerate that kind of behavior from anybody. Urban Meyer, at least on some level, tolerated that behavior from Zach Smith. He should be let go because of it. And the other thing about Shelley Meyer, I don't know how many of you read this, but Brett McMurphy also reported it. Back in the same year where she was text messaging Courtney Smith and saying, Zach Smith scares me. Are you okay? You need to do something about this. I need to tell Urban about this. She never took it any further than that. In the same year that she did that, she spoke at a conference, Shelley Meyer did, about the need to speak up on issues of domestic violence. And when you hear about these things, do whatever you can do to end it, to draw attention to it and end it. Shelley Meyer, at the very least, failed in that way. And it's why this story is just not only frustrating, but also disappointing. Let's go to Sam in Oregon. Sam, it's Gary Parrish filling in for Jim Rome. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for calling.
Hey, so first off, I just want to say I don't agree with domestic violence or anything like that. However, I do kind of work in the medical field. And with her being a nurse, if she did know anything about stuff that was happening, there's laws called the HIPAA laws that prevent people from giving out confidentiality from patient to doctor relations. So if she did say something, she would be violating the law by talking to Urban about it.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not going to pretend to know more about your profession than you know about your profession. But she wasn't, Shelley Meyer wasn't Courtney Smith's doctor or nurse. She was just her friend. Would that not make this different?
In a way, it could. But it depends on how, if Shelley Meyer had any kind of doing with her as a provider to patient, then in any way, even if it was after the fact that she treated her for anything, it would still fall under the confidentiality.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you because I, like, again, this is your profession, not mine. But here's what I wish Shelley Meyer would have done. Maybe not take it to legal authority. Here's what I wish Shelley Meyer would have done, because I feel like she could have done this. She goes to her husband, who her husband has described her as basically a member of his football staff. She has a voice in that house. What I wish Shelley Meyer would have done is gone to Urban Meyer and say, you are employing a monster. He is terrorizing my friend. You cannot keep him on your staff. Do something about this now. I think that would have had a real impact on Urban Meyer, or at least I hope it would have. And it doesn't appear. And again, we'll find out all of this stuff later. So I'm not going to say she never did that, but I will say it doesn't appear that she ever did that. Let's go to Mike in Sacramento. Mike, I'm Gary Parrish filling in for Jim Rome. How you doing?
How you doing today, man? You're doing a stand-up job.
You're really nice to say that. Thank you.
Oh, it's all good, man. I just wanted to comment on the university because I'm under the impression that Urban Meyer had transferred university while having the same gentleman on the staff, correct?
Urban Meyer had done what now?
He's transferred universities with that same gentleman on the staff.
Well, I think this is what you mean. Zach Smith worked for Urban Meyer at Florida, and has, and then also worked for Urban Meyer at Ohio State. So it is true that Urban Meyer employed him at the University of Florida, and then when Urban got the Ohio State job, he hired him to work again for him at Ohio State. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's how that worked out. Because I was going to comment that these universities, when they hire these head coaches, they give them a whole lot of leeway and trust
they
with
do.
The staff that they put together. Now, if I'm an organization like a university, I'm thinking to myself, I want to know the ins and outs of everybody on my staff, top to bottom. And I can't just delegate the full authority of representing my organization to one to head coach.
I agree completely, and I do think we're heading that direction. It feels like in real time, other universities or just other people in general are learning from mistakes that other people commit. My point being this, I do think going forward, a man like Urban Meyer, as powerful as Urban Meyer, is going to have an unusual level of leeway to hire who he wants to hire. But I won't be surprised if universities now put into place thorough background checks on everybody you want to hire, because if we see something like this, we're not getting involved. Similarly, we've seen one athlete after another in recent months get exposed for homophobic or racist or other off-color Twitter remarks that they might have made when they were 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. 7, 8, 9 years later, it all comes out. What you're going to, I think, find is athletes learning from what happened to Josh Hader, what happened to Dante DiVincenzo, and saying, you know what, if there's any hope of me becoming famous, I'm going to delete this Twitter account and start a new one. I ain't about to go down for something I tweeted when I was 15 years old. I think people are learning from that, and I hope universities learn from this, and they say Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, anybody who has that level of power on a college campus, yes, you can hire whoever you want as long as they check out. And if we haven't checked them out thoroughly in the past, we are going to learn a lesson from what Ohio State is going through right now, and we'll check them out. If this kind of stuff shows up, then it's a non-starter. Go find somebody else to work for you. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski going to join me in the next segment. Going to talk NBA with him. But right now, here's Rick Ackerman with a sports update.
Live from Memphis, Tennessee, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Gary Parrish on CBS Sports Radio.
I am Gary Parrish, television analyst, columnist, CBS Sports, filling in here for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to be here today and tomorrow. You can reach me on Twitter, at Gary Parrish CBS. Justin Thomas, coming off a great win last weekend, defending his title as the world's best against Tiger, Phil, DJ, J-Day, Ricky, and Rory. The prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. It's this season's final major, 100th PGA Championship. You can watch it this weekend on CBS. Speaking of, Tiger Woods right now, 1 over through 16, two holes left to play. Ricky Fowler is your leader, 5 under 65. He's done for the day. Adrian Wojnarowski covers the NBA better than anybody else in the world. He works for ESPN, and he's nice enough to join me now. Woj, it's Gary. How you doing?
Gary, I'm great. How are you?
Everything's all right. I appreciate you being here. And I want to start with, I don't guess it's technically an NBA story, but it is a story you reported last night. As I think most people know, the NCAA announced yesterday that they're bringing sweeping changes to the sport of college basketball. As I pointed out, and many others have as well, they don't really change as much as the NCAA would like you to believe. But either way, yeah. One of the announcements was that we're going to allow USA Basketball to identify quote-unquote elite prospects when the time comes, and those prospects will be allowed to have agent representation in some form. Then you report that USA Basketball is like, hold up. First off, we weren't consulted on this. We don't know anything about this. And second, we don't want to do this. How is it possible the NCAA could involve an entity like USA Basketball without even having the conversation with USA Basketball?
Well, no, they did discuss this. They had conversations with them, with the NBA and with USA Basketball. But what the NCAA was told was, we don't want to do this. They certainly didn't agree to do this. They're not built to do it. They don't have interest in doing it, and they're not going to do this. And so, if the NCAA wants to anoint whatever the number is going to be a year, is it 5 players, 10 players, 15, 20? They didn't say that X amount of players can hire agents. but then they have to fire them once they do show if they do show up in college, and then they can rehire them again, I guess, when they're ready to turn pro. They'll be identified through some sort of a rating system. But I think what USA Basketball feels, if that's going to happen, the NCAA is best suited to tell them who the best prospects are, the prospects most likely to, you know, generate high draft interest from the league, because they're going to be the ones studying them. So, it certainly felt like that was a hasty release, maybe across the board of information, but certainly in that respect. I think Dan Gavitt from the NCAA said that to Matt last night or earlier today, sort of it probably admitted that some at the NCAA got too far ahead of themselves on this.
I'm talking to Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN. He's on Twitter at WojESPN. We will get to actual NBA topics in a moment, but you're not just an NBA reporter. You're somebody who understands basketball at every level. You understand the agent dynamic of amateur basketball as well as anybody. The point I've made over and over again is that to the extent any agent or runner for an agent got in trouble with this FBI investigation, it's not because they were advising prospects. It's because they were buying prospects. And there's nothing in this new language, at least from my perspective, that's going to change that at all, which makes the change mostly pointless. To people who don't quite understand how that stuff works, why would the NCAA think that this is going to be a meaningful change at all? Because I can't quite figure it out.
No, and it's clear, like, whatever changes, like, to me, there's a modicum of, I could see incrementally for a select amount of players, there's some things that could be a little better in their existence in college basketball or prior to it that exists now. They didn't need an FBI investigation into their sport to come to any of these. They could have come to these 20 years ago. Right. What that seemed to be through this entire announcement, and like you said, sweeping changes. Well, it's not that. It's sweeping status quo. It's a way to continue to not address what the big issue is, which is the whole model of amateurism. And again, like, nothing's going. It's a supply and demand, just like college recruiters. College coaches need to put together recruiting classes every year. Agents are putting together recruiting classes every year. So if you want to pay college players because it's the right thing to do, they've earned it the way you would pay a child actor or a musician who's filling up a stadium. You'd pay these guys who are generating sold-out arenas, television deals. Let's say we're going to pay college players $50,000, $40,000, whatever the number is. That's not going to change college recruiters. If you and I are both recruiting the same player and I'm willing to do more to get him, I might offer something beyond that. Same with the agent. So none of this is going to change. It is a supply and demand marketplace, and there's really nothing you can do to change that. If colleges want to pay guys whatever, like $50,000, they're still going to take another $100,000 from an agent or a college or whatever it is. It's just, this is, it's a marketplace, and that will always continue when there's so much financial gain for everybody in this billion-dollar industry.
I'm talking to Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN. He's on Twitter, at WojESPN. I'm Gary Parrish, filling in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio. To the NBA, Kawhi Leonard has submitted a letter to the San Antonio Express News, basically saying thank you to San Antonio Spurs fans. I would imagine it's being met mostly with double birds. Is there any point to Kawhi Leonard trying to make good with the fans of the franchise he basically decided he didn't want anything to do with anymore?
Yeah, I mean, listen, virtually every player, when he leaves a place, whether he did it by choice or was traded or signed as a free agent, does this, sends that letter. Sometimes people actually buy an ad and take that out, or in this case, it seems like they just sent the letter. I'm not sure how the paper posted. Maybe it was an ad. I don't know. But to me, it's par for the course. It didn't particularly sound like him, but a lot of these letters don't sound like it. I mean, it's hard to say actually whether it sounds like him or not, because most people have never really had extensive conversations or heard Kawhi talk extensively. That's fine. Like, to me, like, it's kind of par for the course. It was a nice gesture, I guess. Not sure it means much either way. And now the Spurs are, you know, fully in his rearview mirror.
A big headline from you yesterday involving Joakim Noah. The report is that the Knicks are not planning to bring him back to play under David Fizdale, that they're going to stretch him and just be done with him. I thought maybe some people thought that whatever issues Joe had with the Knicks were mostly with the former head coach, and maybe that could be resolved with a new head coach. Clearly, he's not the same player he once was, not the player they thought they were signing to this contract anymore. But what happened to get to a point where they just do not want to coexist at all?
Well, I think the Knicks are on to another era. They're rebuilding again, but it's under a new general manager, Scott Perry, new coach in Fizz, as you said it. And they're going to play younger players. And I think the idea of having Noah around a team where he's not going to be part of their plans, he's not going to fit in and play there, and to think that that's going to be the right environment to have around, you know, the young players that now they're going to build around, I think they're just deciding that we will take the financial hit. And it is a financial hit. His number will sit on their cap for a couple more years going forward. But they should still be able to, in free agency, create a max slot next summer to go after Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. That would be their goal, to be active and to do that. And I think the Knicks are going to be competitive. I think it's an interesting summer next year because you have both New York teams with Brooklyn will have two max slots. The Clippers will have two max slots. And then the Knicks and Lakers each have one. So big market. New York teams with a lot of space. It'll be interesting to see how many each all of them can land. If Brooklyn and the Clippers can be able to sell those organizations to people and get a star, get two stars to come together.
Last thing before I let you go, I'm wrapping up here with Adrian Wojnarowski. Real quick, a handful of NBA games have been announced already. We now know that LeBron's return to Cleveland will be on November 21st. And I think undeniably, this departure from Cleveland has been received vastly different than the first one. And yet still, and this was perhaps just tongue-in-cheek, a funny thing, but I saw in the Cleveland Plain Dealer this morning, the newspaper there in Cleveland, when they announced that, you know, the headline was, it's LeBron coming back to Quicken Loans Arena on November 21st, but the headline is Lonzo and the Lakers to visit Quicken Loans Arena November 21st. And then the subhead was former Cav James expected to play as well. How do you expect that night to go down?
It'll be a lot different. I was there his first night back with Miami, and it was as nasty and vicious. It was as nasty and vicious, maybe. I don't know if vicious is the right word, of a crowd I'd ever seen for a player. I don't think it'll be anything like that. Do I think he's going to get an ovation? I don't know. Maybe it'll be somewhere mixed. I do think with this year, I think people saw it coming.
Right.
I think that people had time to prepare themselves. And he won a championship. You know, if he had not won a championship and then moved on, I think the whole tone of his departure to L.A. would be very different. But I felt from the moment he won that title that he had liberated himself to leave again if he wanted, and he did.
That is Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN. You're watching him on television all the time, listening to the Woj Pod, and if you're following him on Twitter, you already know it's at Woj ESPN. It's at Woj ESPN. Thanks, buddy. I owe you forever. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for having me as always, man. Talk to you soon.
My man, Adrian Wojnarowski. From ESPN. I'm Gary Parrish, filling in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio. And when we come back, Will Brinson from CBS Sports is going to join me, talk NFL with him. We got 12 exhibition games tonight. Baker Mayfield is going to make his debut. Saquon Barkley is going to make his debut. Andrew Luck's returning from injury. Deshaun Watson's returning from injury. What can we expect to see? I'm going to ask Will Brinson next. Again, I'm Gary Parrish, filling in for Jim Rome. Stick with me. You're listening to me. CBS Sports Radio.